Question Medicine is now on your Alexa-enabled device. It is on TikTok. It is on Instagram. It is everywhere that you need it or everywhere you want it. Or wait, didn't Visa already take that tagline? Anyways, let's get on with the show. Welcome back to Question Medicine, where we are asking medical questions and giving medical answers based on recent medical literature. And today's question is, do your genes affect your rate of obesity? Well, I think that they might because I have been wearing some jeans from Costco recently, and let me tell you, I have not gained a pound since I started wearing them. So I think that it just might play a much bigger role than we all think. But maybe a better question for today is, does the degree of physical activity associated with obesity vary by your genetic risk? Meaning, does it matter the genetic risk, the genetic factors that your parents gave you for your rates of obesity? You ponder that question and I'll be back in 15 seconds. Andrew Bill, sunny St. Petersburg, Florida. Let's do this thing, shall we? Do your genes affect your rate of obesity? Can you just be born into good luck and be skinny your whole life with good genetics? Or could you be born into bad luck, have bad genetics, bad genes, and maybe gain 5 pounds just by looking at a chocolate cake? Well, investigators in this study used step count and genetic data from an existing data set. At the start of tracking, the patients did not have obesity. That's key. The 3,000 participants that were included in this trial had a polygenic risk score, which uses known information about previous genomic association studies to create core trials of risk. And then the patients were just monitored for 5 years. And before I go any further, I will open and honestly admit I have been hard on genetics, pharmacogenomics, or genetics to be really exact. And that is because it is overly hard. It's almost borderline impossible to pin down one specific gene for one specific drug, for one specific indication, for one specific reason. In fact, so far, it is impossible. We've never been able to do it because no treatment is a number needed to treat of one. No treatment is a number needed to harm of one. The body is much more complex than just one individual genetic breakdown. And so if we think that we can pinpoint pharmacogenomics to be just this one test and this one thing, well, then I got news for you. We are so wrong. At least with current technology, there is just no way this can work if you even possibly think logical about it for 1 second. However, This is a perfect situation in which you could use genomics to place a patient at core risk or some sort of percentile risk, as you are not trying to pinpoint an exact treatment. You're not trying to pinpoint an exact risk. You're not trying to say, well, your risk category meets the 96.4 percentile and your risk category is the 55th point 932 percentile. No, you're just trying to say, well, you're in the first percentile, you're in the 25th percentile, you're the 50th percentile. We're just giving a broad paintbrush, if you will, a rough estimates on where you believe that their risk will fall based on genomics. So looking at the genomics, you can say, well, your risk for obesity is high, low, or somewhere in the middle. This is a perfect time to use genomics. So for 5 years, you were looking at the number of daily steps and you were looking at the genetic risk score for obesity, and then you were waiting to see if the patient becomes obese. That's all the authors did here. And during follow-up, participants walked on average right around 8,300 steps, or just over 8,000 steps a day. And those individuals in the lowest genetic risk score developed obesity, defined as a BMI greater than 30, which is what obesity is, approximately 13% of the time, while those individuals in the highest obesity genetic risk score developed obesity 43% of the time. That's an absolute difference of 30% just based on your genes, just based on your genetics and what your risk says about your ability or your genetic predisposition to becoming obese. This means that any old diet and exercise plan should likely actually be targeted as an individual approach based on the patient's genetics or genomics and their risk of becoming obese in the future. And when this technology becomes cheap enough, I think that's exactly where we are headed. One of the shocking stats from this paper is that participants in the 75th percentile, the 75th percentile for obesity, meaning they were high risk for obesity, needed to walk approximately 2,280 more steps daily, than participants at the 50th percentile to have the same relative risk reduction. And participants in the 25th percentile, meaning they didn't really have high risk, not high genomic risk for obesity, needed to walk approximately 3,500 or 3,660 fewer steps daily, every day, to achieve the same risk reduction as someone in the 50th percentile. The change there is monster. It's huge. I mean, we're looking at a change, if you're in the 75th percentile or the 25th percentile, a difference of over 5,000 extra steps a day you'd either have to consume in order to not become obese, or you could avoid doing and still not become obese because you just had really good genetics. It is often said she gets it from her mama, or she gets it from her mother, or the mother is like daughter, or the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You can say it however you want, but I think that this paper puts a whole new spin on this. This genetics puts a whole new spin on gaining weight. Despite following recommendations of close to 10,000 steps a day, if you have a high risk or high genetic risk for obesity, you may need to increase that daily step count by 3,000 or 4,000 steps to get equal benefit to some of the counterparts who are at low genetic risk for obesity. For me, the ultimate takeaway bottom line is there are many medical factors or medical things that are likely genetic, and obesity is probably one of them. If you look at a cupcake and gain 3 pounds, you can likely thank your ancestors. And if you are one of the lucky few who walks into an ice cream store and loses 2 pounds, you also should be thanking your ancestors. This is probably the best proof we will get to demonstrate that some individuals may need more than the recommended 10,000 steps to lose weight, while other individuals might be able to lose weight with diet and exercise and only 7 or 8,000 steps per day. If you like this podcast, then please give it a review. But I know, I'm just like you. I don't give every podcast a review. So let's just be honest. If you like the podcast, just share it with a friend so we can all be a little bit better. One question at a time. And with that, I will end this podcast as I've ended every single one before it. Wait for the music. Until next time, Keith Quest in Questioning.